Welcome to the Morning Struggle Podcast. I'm Jesse.
And I'm Ty. We bring you habits of successful people. And today we're talking about
getting a raise.
Getting them raises. Activate. I'm pulling back the fourth wall or the third curtain or the sixth sense. Whatever you talk about when someone looks at the camera in the middle of the show and says, oh, audience, what do you think about this?
That's the third
wall. We're doing it. We're not at 5 a.m. this morning.
We are not.
We're at like 2 in the afternoon.
Yeah.
It's going to be sluggish because we've already eaten lunch and cookies. And now we're on our second or third cup of coffee a day. This one's going to be rough, my friends. So strap in. Because it's going to be a bumpy ride. Welcome to the Morning Struggle Podcast. We bring you habits of successful people. And today should be the most successful of the episodes. And tell us why.
Because we're talking about making sure that you ask for your raises and you get your raises.
Ask for raises, get some raises.
Yep.
It's that easy.
Mm-hmm.
You go into your boss's office and you say, oh, give me a raise.
Yeah, you put your feet on the desk.
On their desk.
Mm-hmm.
And you say, give me this raise. And they say, absolutely. And a promotion too.
Oh, and then you high five.
I do want to ask you, does this mean you're going to give me a raise?
What? No.
Well, you're going to teach me how to ask you for a raise properly?
No, you're never getting a raise.
So is this what we're talking about though? How to ask your bosses for a raise?
Yes. And then what your brain does as you go through the asking for a raise process.
Okay. So action plan, we're actually going to tell people the right way to go about asking for a raise.
Yeah, to actually have the outcome you're looking for, which is more money.
That makes sense.
What you're doing,
that's
right?
What a raise is. Okay, so we're going to get into quick history. Then we're going to do some science, what happens to your body and your brain when you go to ask for a raise. We're going to talk about some coffee. We have some Jack Skellington Night Before Christmas coffee we're drinking.
Of course, I love this.
Because it's February or whenever this episode comes out, so might as well get Christmas coffee out here.
Exactly.
And then we're going to do a action plan.
Yes.
Well, let's get into it. This day in history. So you're going to talk about raises.
I am.
And how to get more money.
Yes.
And how to be me. I'm so amazing and I deserve all the money and capitalism rules. Mm-hmm. Well, I'm taking the history segment down a different path then, and I'm going anti-Jesse today.
What?
We're going to talk about socialism.
What?
Socialism? Because you don't need a raise in socialism because you all make the same thing.
That's
and you all
true.
Wear the same gray jumpsuit. It doesn't matter if you're a doctor or you're a street sweeper. Everybody is all the same. And you live in these utopian societies or communist China. One of the two.
I was like, is that how that works?
Yeah. So anyway, socialism. We're going to talk about socialism. So socialism describes any political or economic theory that says community rather than individuals should own and manage property or kind of new natural resources.
Oh, so you don't own anything.
There's a few different kinds. There's utopianism, there's anarchism, there's Soviet communism, there's social democracy. We're going to talk about a little bit of all of these.
Nice.
But it's kind of an opposition to an unrestricted free market economy. So I have eggs. I'm going to sell you my eggs. My eggs are special. They're going to be $18 an egg. And you say, whoa, special eggs, great. And you give me 18 bucks. Next thing you know, I got a big mansion.
Right.
That doesn't happen in socialist economies.
Oh.
Because it's more of, there's a few ways, but centralized, you know, power or little communities. And then they share. It's a sharing economy. That's what you really want to do. So anyway, they pitch better distribution of wealth and more egalitarian societies. So let's talk about how socialism emerged. What do we always talk about on this show, on my history segments? Ancient Greece. They had it all together. They had pencils. They had socialism.
Uh-huh.
They had robes. You name it. They had lead in their aquifers. Whatever you wanted back in the day.
You got it.
The Greeks had it. Ancient Greek times. So philosopher Plato, he depicted this type of collective society in his dialogue, The Republic. Have you read Republic, his book?
Well, yeah, like 3 or 4 times.
Oh, shoot.
Okay. No, well, I haven't.
Then you know. It's amazing. So if you haven't, you should. But then in the 16th century in England, Thomas More drew upon this for his Utopia book. And it was an imaginary island where money had been abolished and people live and work communally.
Oh, so like a tribe of people.
Communism, communal, community sounds pretty good.
Right.
The problem is a lot of dictators use the theory of communism to suppress the labor class and then enrich themselves.
Oh, it's not actually what
this fascism
is.
Fascism and dictatorship. That's really not true communism or socialism.
Oh.
But anyway, in the late 18th century, the invention of the steam engine powered the Industrial Revolution.
Mm-hmm.
And that swept the economic or outlook and socially changed Great Britain forever. And then eventually the United States.
Right.
So, you know, you got all these big industries that come into play. You got these titans that make a bunch of money. And then you got the working class that are toiling 18 hours a day making these ships.
And losing their arms.
These manufacturing plants and losing their arms.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where the free market has taken us.
Oh.
Factory owners became wealthy, and then many workers lived in increasing poverty.
Well, and you know, there's this situation where the factory owners would own pubs just outside the gates. So on payday, the workers would go to these pubs to like socialize and unwind because they've been working for so long, and then the money funnels back into the owner of the factory. Isn't that wild?
You see that in mining a lot too. They'd have a mining store and mining camps. So you pay to live in the mining camp. You'd shop in the mining store. So you're, but it's all owned by the mine owners.
So you never leave. You just stay there.
You're indentured.
Interesting.
So anyway, the utopian socialism. Henri de Saint-Simon, Robert Owen, and Charles Fourier came up with their own models for social organizations based on cooperation rather than competition.
Okay.
It was a utopian society. Saint-Simon said, hey, the central government, one big entity should control everything. Well, Owen and Fourier said that they should have small collective communities. Well, Owen, who had owned and operated textile mills in Scotland, headed to the United States in 1825 to launch his experimental community in New Harmony, Indiana.
New Harmony,
I like that. It's the world's largest socialist community.
Oh.
Nope. It's a regular town now because it completely failed.
It didn't work.
It completely failed, and Owen lost all of his fortune.
Oh, Owen.
But there were more than 40 small cooperative agricultural communities, little farm co-ops, and they lasted until about the 1930s when our capital free market took over and socialism doesn't work anymore.
Hmm.
Then we get into Karl Marx. Do you know who Karl Marx is?
Nope.
Well, Karl Marx was undoubtedly the most influential theorist of socialism.
Oh.
And he said these other ones, they didn't get it right because they wanted these happy-go-lucky, wear bare feet and put flowers in your hair societies. That's not the way the world works.
Those hippies.
He just didn't want to lose his arms in a factory anymore. So he had visions, those visions were dreamy and unrealistic. For Marx, society was made up of classes, and he wanted to dissolve those. So it was like a working class and then a owner class.
You know,
the wealthy class.
Wait.
So in 1848, he came up with the Communist Manifesto.
Ooh.
Have you read the Communist Manifesto?
I have not.
I did for this, and it made a lot of sense.
Okay.
And I hate to say that because I'm a free market kind of guy. I bleed blue and red and white and stars. I probably need to go to see a doctor.
Yeah.
But Marx and then his collaborator, Friedrich Engels, argued that scientific socialism could be established only after a revolution class struggle with its workers emerging on top. So we don't want to dig your holes anymore. We don't want to build your widgets anymore. We're revolting. And then it becomes socialism.
Okay.
So that's what his manifesto was. Workers unite.
So like unions now.
Kind of like unions. Yeah. So the problem was a lot of his ideas were taken up by people like Vladimir Lenin and Mao Zedong. Dictators who said this, let's do this. Everybody, you are all the same, but you're way down here while I'm way up here.
Right.
And that's where the communists and the socialism, you know, took a wrong turn. But there's Christian socialism. There's collective societies formed around different religions. There's anarchism, which says no government, you know, is necessary.
Right,
and we can all control ourselves. You've got like Bitcoin. Bitcoin is a decentralized money. That's a socialist ideal.
Oh.
Or ideology. So social democracy, which is kind of what we see a little bit more in our more refined or evolved first world countries.
Okay.
We'll talk about some social democracies here. But they want to go political reform instead of pitchforks and cannons.
Okay.
So we'll talk about that. So anyways, modern day socialism. So after the Russian Revolution in 1917 and the formation of the Soviet Union, social democracy and communism emerged as the two most dominant forms. So, communism, communist Russia, right? Mm-hmm. Communist China. They are revolution focused. So the working party overthrows an oppressive dictator, and they are now, everything is state owned by all the people.
Okay.
So that's where that came from. But then in the 80s and the 90s, all these regimes, these communist regimes, started collapsing. So Soviet Union fell, a lot of the Eastern European communist countries fell. Now they became more free market. Mm-hmm. And there's only China, Cuba, North Korea, Laos, and Vietnam are the only communist states left.
Oh, currently?
Yep.
Oh, no kidding.
But you say, okay, yeah, those are communist countries. Them versus us. Not so fast. There's a lot of European countries that have social democratic parties.
Okay.
Which is essentially a way to rephrase socialism, because you can't come in there and say, I'm a communist. And they say, great, you don't get elected.
Yeah, because there's a lot to
I'm
that.
I'm a social democrat. That sounds really good. Because what are some things you think that would be socialist?
Uniform medical care.
Universal health care.
Yep.
Public education. Free public education. All roads. Anytime you have government that gives things to the people.
Right.
And doesn't allow private ownership.
Wait a minute.
That's socialism.
So are we kind of socialist here in the US of A?
Well, we're probably the least socialist country.
Nobody wants to pay for their roads.
We privatize everything. But in the United States, we had a peak support of socialism. About 1912, Eugene V. Debs won 6% of the vote in the presidential election. And he was a socialist.
Oh, so but 6%
is pretty big.
Bad.
But we do have programs. Social Security, Medicare. When these first came out, people mm-hmm. were denouncing them as socialist movements.
Right. Now that's what they are.
Now you think
definition.
Of it, you say, you can't take away Medicare. You can't take away Social Security. Right, like, we got to fund these things. They're socialists. So if you're a true free market capitalist, you let those old people... You fend for themselves. This is my money.
That's right.
And I'm making people work for it.
Mm-hmm. So don't drive on my road.
Don't drive on my roads without paying me some money. So that's called democratic socialism.
Oh.
But some of the countries that implement this the best, Scandinavian countries.
Yeah,
up,
they're all
up in
great.
The north. Canada, mm-hmm. Great Britain. They do single-payer health care, free college tuition, higher taxes on the wealthy. Those are all socialist movements.
Oh, no kidding.
Yep, no kidding. So I was going to get into the Communist Manifesto, uh-huh. just for everybody who's never read the Communist Manifesto. But that's the Karl Marx one. This is the document.
Oh,
if you want
right.
to read the Communist Manifesto, that's the document that says, hey, this is how communism is supposed to work. And you read it and you say, man, they kind of had some good ideas. Part one, mm-hmm. it was the wealthy versus the working class. Then they talked about how we need to bring down those wealthy people because the worker class are being exploited. Then it's the working class and communists, so how the working class owns everything.
Uh-huh.
Then the third section of it is the socialist and communist literature. So they had the critiques against all the wealthy and the utopian socialist movements.
Right.
And then number four, the position of the communists in relation to the various existing opposition parties.
Oh.
So they talk about like workers unite, and they talk about nobody owns land, and communication was owned by the state, and factories are owned by the state. And
that's where you start getting into that, where someone like the state can censor things
yep.
and all of that.
So
interesting.
The problem is if you empower the state, a centralized government mm-hmm. to control everything, anytime there's any corruption or any disparity, it doesn't work. It crumbles. Because humans are trying to get ahead.
Yeah.
So if you had a communist leader who said, I'm going to be the poorest in my country.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to live in the poorest house. And I'm going to drive the poorest car.
Mm-hmm.
And we're all going to be the same. And I'm going to make sure it might work. The
right.
problem is you say, well, I'm the leader. I get the palace. Okay.
Right.
But everybody else
nice
is going to be the same.
Nice
yeah.
food.
Yeah.
yeah.
Oh, mm-hmm. I can't live in less than a 18-bedroom house and drive a bulletproof Rolls Royce. I'm the leader of the party.
That's right.
And that doesn't work. Mm-hmm. So anyway, if you maybe a little small community and
well,
just think about this. Oh, go ahead.
I was going to ask you, is there an amount of people that this works best with?
I didn't research that, but I bet there is.
There's got to be, because
you know,
then you're working 50, together.
Mm-hmm. Under 50 people, like our tribe, you know, ancient
Yeah.
ancestor.
Like that system probably worked pretty well.
Probably worked pretty well. Mm-hmm. Think of your family. You don't go
right.
to your family and say, sorry, kids, can't eat dinner today because I paid for it. Pony up your allowances.
Right.
Right. You're right. sharing. That's all socialism is. It's just sharing.
Just sharing, yeah.
Sesame Street taught us to be socialists. You can thank PBS and public radio, which is centrally owned.
Right?
Owned by the state.
Mm-hmm.
All right, that's it. That's all I got. That's
it's
your
interesting
history.
To actually read it and look into it, though. for what it is. Because everybody's mad or for it without actually knowing what it is.
Knowing, yeah, any idea what it is. Yeah. So there you go. Look into socialism. Mm. It's the whole push.
What is the manifesto?
The communist.
It's the communist manifesto.
Yep.
Okay, look it up. Read it up.
Look it up. Read it up. Okay, we're going to get back into raises, though, because we don't live in communist Russia.
We do not.
Or a communist Soviet Union. They're not communist anymore. Communist China. Wherever. I don't know.
Wherever those places.
But even they have raises. They have a regular industry. Mm-hmm. So it doesn't matter how socialist you are, you're going to want a raise. Yep. Even if you're on one of these farms in Indiana, mm-hmm. you're probably going to say, hey, I pick more onions than my neighbor. Give me more onion money. Mm-hmm. How are we going to do that?
I'm going to tell you.
So let's get into it.
Okay, so I'm going to break this down into three sections because this is kind of a lot to cover in this time frame. And now I wish I would have broke it up a little more, but you got to get that raise. We got to get you set up for that.
So
right?
We're jumping right in.
We're jumping right in. First off, you need to ask. And I know that sounds silly.
but you do. You can't expect it?
Yeah, you can't expect that anyone's going to give you more money simply because you exist. Okay. Only about 12% of the population actually asks for a raise or a promotion.
Really?
Yeah.
So it's just, if you just ask, you're in the top, you know, 88% of people.
Yeah, of actually getting what you want,
okay.
Right?
Yep.
So you need, first off, you need to know what you're worth. So if you're asking for more money, you should probably do more or better things.
Okay, so just don't expect a raise because you're doing the same thing and inflation's, you know, getting more expensive.
Yeah, and the thing with that, with inflation, yes, you can ask for your pay to stay with inflation, and that's a fine enough thing. That might be just an industry standard, depending on where you work and what industry you're in. However, if you're going to be asking for more money outside of inflation, you absolutely should do more things because that company is going to be investing in you, so you should provide something extra.
Okay, and that's why a promotion usually comes with a pay raise is because you have more responsibilities.
Yeah, you're going to be doing more things for the company.
So if you want the same job, you're probably going to get the same pay. But if you say, hey, I can also take on these responsibilities or I've been incorporating this into my job, then maybe.
I've already been doing these things. Okay. May I get paid for them? Because I'm pretty important to be doing this, right?
I like it.
You need to know how irreplaceable you are. So a lot of jobs, people can train in a couple of weeks and be ready to roll out, right? Some jobs are not like that. And so it's knowing how irreplaceable you are. However, know that everyone is replaceable.
No, nobody's a snowflake.
Nope. Even if you are the CFO, the CEO, you're the only guy that knows how to do this specific kind of data entry, they can figure out how to replace you.
Yeah.
So that's why you want to make sure that it is a good relationship between the two of you. You're doing good things, they're doing good things for you, and that you're all working together for the company.
So don't go in there and say, you need me, because maybe they don't.
Yeah, okay. Because everybody's replaceable, right? The golden rules to walking in is timing is very important. So if you just got reprimanded for something you did wrong,
ask for that raise. An extra big money.
No, just be like,
yeah, you almost fired me. Now I need more money.
Because I'm so irreplaceable.
Don't do it when you're getting in trouble.
Yeah, when you're getting in trouble, it's really good if you've just done a big project or you've helped out the company in such a way where you've gone above and beyond. If you're doing extra things already, that was a perfect time to ask for more income for what you're doing.
Okay.
Don't lie. So statistically speaking, the number one thing people are doing when they go in to ask for a raise is they lie.
About
so
what?
They lie about how much they actually need, how much they actually want, about having other job offers.
Oh, that's a big one.
Yeah.
And I've been offered $70 an hour over here. And they say, okay, great, go for it.
Go do that.
It.
That
and
sounds like a great offer.
Nobody offered me 70.
Yeah, it's the office all over again.
Makes sense.
Yeah, so it's being able to negotiate without lying. Okay. And that also means that you're not applying other places or getting other offers simply to bring that offer to your current work.
Okay.
So you have every intention of actually going over there because it just feels yucky. It does really bad things to our brain when we are actively lying about what we're doing.
It makes sense. We talk about lying in some of the other episodes.
Yeah,
it really does have a negative response in our bodies.
Yeah, it really does. And then the last one is put yourself in your boss's shoes. So your boss is running in theory, a unit or a branch or the entire company, who knows what you're doing, but whoever you're going to be asking for this raise, it's actually awkward for them as well.
Yes,
so true. Everybody's trying to make budget. Everybody's trying to make everything work. And there's probably facets that you don't understand about these different things. So like buying stamps might be a ridiculous thing, but you won't realize how many stamps your company has to buy. Right?
Sure.
So we want to make sure that we're being empathetic and that we've already built a relationship with them, because if you want to continue to work for them for more money, you should probably like them enough as a human being.
Makes sense. Okay? I like it.
So putting yourself in, being empathetic in general is very helpful. So our brain specifically, and this is wild. I had such a good time researching this. So obviously money is motivational. Yeah. Right. However, so the MRI scans that they did revealed that the nucleus accumbens, which is this, the part of the brain that shows, it's the interface between motivation and into action. So we think of like food and sexual intercourse, things like that is very motivational in our brain, because our body wants us to reproduce and it wants us to stay alive, right?
Right.
But money specifically engages all of that area. So we have heightened neural activity during that time frame. And I'm sorry, I'm so excited.
I know. Well, you're getting all excited about the money.
It's like this is so great. Well, and so during the brain scans, there was one particular study that they did where they had people who were about to make more money for the same thing. They didn't ask for anything new. They were going to do the same job and have more money for doing so. And then people who were actively high on cocaine. And what they found was that the brain scans were nearly identical.
So cocaine and getting a raise give you the same brain scan?
Yes.
So what if you're on cocaine when you get the raise? You heard it here, folks.
No,
Jesse says,
that's not what I'm saying.
Do you want the double endorphin rush?
No.
We call that the double D.
The double D.
The double E, sorry. Double E.
That's so bad. No, so it's Dr. Knutson.
Okay.
Who actually did a lot of these studies, and what they found, so like food provides motivation for dogs, money provides it for human beings, even more than any other stimulus.
So more than cake. More than
intercourse, more
anything.
Than social acceptance, all of it.
Okay.
Is so getting more money. And his theory is that the reason why we have this reaction to money is because money will bring us all these other things.
Money is the key to all of it.
Yep, because if I am a high roller, I'm more likely to be
attract from the opposite or same sex, whatever you're into.
I can
into
buy
there.
Any cake
you can
I
buy
want.
Any food you want to. Mm-hmm. You can be everybody's envious of you. Mm-hmm. So it's the ultimate.
Yes.
So you're saying throw every other habit out the window. Get the money.
No, but here's the thing: we get excited.
Okay.
We don't even have the money yet. We're getting excited to get this money. So when you're about to prepare to ask for a raise, you get this heightened neural reaction in
just
your brain.
Just by thinking about asking for it.
Yeah, if you believe that you're going to get it.
Okay.
Okay? So then when you get rejected, because it happens,
yeah.
Right? Or just the reality of the situation.
Like someone taking away your cookie.
Exactly.
That makes sense.
That's sad. But the rejection actually hurts. That's funny you say cookie, because when you get this rejection, or even just not what you thought you were going to get, the anterior insula, which is how we understand our emotional state, all emotional states. So if we're anxious, we're feeling pain, we're happy, we're hungry, all of these different things, it's that wiring in the brain. So the anterior insula actually has what we call spindle cells.
This is getting technical.
Yeah.
Do I need to write this down?
Maybe you might want to. So the spindle cells that are part of the anterior insula are also and found more often in the digestive tract.
So you have cells in the brain.
Yep.
And cells in your belly.
Yep.
And they both get excited when you talk about money and food.
They get excited, but even worse is when you do get rejected, they both hurt. So you believe you're in pain.
So you get rejected for the raise, and you believe you're actually in pain.
In physical, actual pain. Your tummy will hurt. So if you've ever had that where your tummy starts churning, your brain is actually the thing that's reacting to it. And so it feels like you're in pain. Therefore, your tummy, because that's where these spindle cells exist, is in your digestive tract and in your brain. And so it tells your digestive tract that we're in trouble, that we're in pain, and then you have that kind of sick, sour feeling in your tummy. So that's that gut reaction that we have, like you got punched in the gut.
Oh, yeah.
It's those spindle cells.
So you actually feel like you got punched.
Yes, exactly.
So emotions do hurt.
They do hurt.
Words do hurt.
But they really do. And so even if it's not as much as you wanted, you will still get some reaction within the spindle cells. So more than likely, because usually when you ask for a raise, there's usually like a middle ground that comes in, or they're even just the negotiation part of this will enact these both of these reactions. And so it's a really interesting conflict between the nucleus accumbens and then the anterior insula, that they're kind of battling each other because you're on this kind of high, like just generally reactive, but then you're also feeling like you're in physical pain.
Okay.
Isn't that wild? So both of those are happening at the same time as you're asking for a raise.
But it's exciting either way. I'm going to ask for a raise every day.
I would like more money, please.
And then I get all my brains fighting each other, like the American Gladiators on the joust thing. Pylons is perfect. Why not?
Why don't they have that show anymore? That's amazing.
Yeah, I know. That's a great show. Good documentary on it. Anyway, okay, so is that it for the brain?
That is it for the science part of getting a raise.
Science part of getting a raise. Mm-hmm. I think this is fascinating. And it's fascinating every time we do a habit that there's chemical reactions that cause these things that we think are easily controllable.
Well, and that's the thing, is that our body can either help us out in these reactions or it can hinder us. And we really don't have a lot of control over this. You're going to have both of these reactions, no matter how much you're aware that you're going to have these reactions. So it's more about understanding what your brain is doing so that you can not be surprised when your tummy starts to churn and go, oh, okay, this is what's going to happen as I go through this process.
And you can take appropriate action, aka follow Jesse's action plan.
Yeah.
All right. Let's get into a quick coffee review. Mm-hmm. Then you can tell us exactly what to do and exactly what to tell our boss when they don't appreciate all the hard work we're doing. And we've gathered our communist troops. And we're going to overthrow that boss if he doesn't give us our raises.
Yeah.
All right, here we go.
I drank pots and pots and pots and pots of strong black coffee, trying to keep my sleepy soul awake. But the sleepiness still comes along, and when it does, it's fast and strong. I end up with a bad case of the shakes.
So the most important piece of this, though, is that I want everyone to know, is that this week we're announcing our winner.
Of your raffle.
Of the February raffle.
Okay.
Okay? And the only way to get into this raffle is to email me at... Or sign up for the newsletter, themorningstrugglepodcast@gmail.com.
Go to the website, themorningstruggle.podbean.com.
Yeah, and it has all of our links on there.
And then sign up for the newsletter. Email Jesse.
Yeah.
It's all free.
It's all
the time.
Just get
and
in this
Jessie's
raffle.
Jesse's lonely, folks.
Oh, my goodness.
She loves the emails.
I love the questions.
She loves knitting hats.
I love this. So it fits every need I have.
Are we giving away real merchandise, too?
We are.
We have real merchandise. Sweatshirts and real hats.
And stickers.
And yep. T-shirts.
Yep. So we're going to give away those, too. But okay. I'm going to, even if you get a real merchandise thing, which I'm going to try to send out with each one, because, I mean, that's only fair.
Sure.
I'm also going to make something, because then you have something that I have literally made.
And you feel loved.
Yeah. And I do put love in each and every one of these.
Your spindle cells will just love you.
Your little
that.
Gut feeling will be like, oh, yay.
All right. Well, so we got a winner?
We're not announcing it on this one.
Oh, you haven't pulled it out of the hat yet?
Not yet.
Okay. Well, it's coming up. So you better hurry up and sign up if you want to get in. Okay. All right, what are we drinking today for coffee review?
We are talking about, so it's Santa Jack, The Nightmare Before Christmas, and it's another Bones Coffee Company.
So Jesse got a sampler pack of the Bones Coffee Company roasts.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're trying to get through them all.
We are loving the process.
I get it. It's Disney. It's Nightmare Before Christmas.
Right.
It's amazing. It is incredibly flavored.
It's incredibly
infused with whatever theme they're going for. And what's this one?
This one's a cranberry creme brulee.
Cranberry creme brulee.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. What's my quote for this one?
So yours is cranberries. They don't just need to be for Thanksgiving.
Question mark?
Is it a question mark?
Yeah,
I'll note that.
Very question marky, because this is cranberry-y.
Yeah, so I really like the packaging because it has Jack Skellington dressed up in his Santa Claus outfit.
Right.
And he's holding the toy duck that they make in The Nightmare Before Christmas,
yep.
Which I absolutely adore. I think the packaging is amazing. But I'm actually having a harder time with this one than I was even with the mudslide boogie.
It's so the bags are amazing.
So cute.
The coffee is very flavored.
Yeah.
Whew. Threes across the board except for the packaging, which gets a 5 for me.
You did a 5. I loved the aroma. The acidity, though, went down to a 2.
Just fine.
It was a little much.
It's a bit much.
It was a little much. But yeah. And it could have been, I was thinking with cranberry, because cranberries are so tart. Mm-hmm. That maybe that's what brought this into like that like puckering oof.
I have no idea, but you know what?
Yeah,
it's seasonal. It's got flavors. If you like the flavored coffee and you put a bunch of sugar and heavy cream in it,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, sure, whatever. Probably tastes amazing.
I bet if you did, because you put heavy whipping cream in yours.
Just heavy cream.
Heavy cream. Oh, sorry, whipping cream.
Just heavy cream.
But if you have a lot of sugar, I bet you could make this into a really tasty like milkshake.
Yeah, yeah.
Like you could make it into, but having it black, it's a little intense. So our overall score was a 3.2.
Okay, there you go. That's average.
Yeah, but anyway. I really like the packaging, and we have so many more to get through.
So many more of these
so
Bones Coffee Company.
So good.
If you like flavored coffee, go for it. If you don't, got to stay away. But you can also look on the newsletter. She's got pictures of it.
Yeah,
and
so
the
you
actual
can see.
Review, so.
And then we go into specifics about it. So
I like it. Okay.
It's awesome.
All right, there's our coffee review.
So good.
Bones Coffee Company.
Yeah.
And then are we just, we have so many of these. Is this going to be like a year's worth of Bones? Are we going to do other ones?
No. I think we have about a month's worth.
Okay.
It's kind of a lot. They were sample bags.
We're going to filter in some other ones.
Yeah,
so,
we do.
So
have
we
a few
see
others.
Other ones. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. I like that too.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's get back into the action plan.
Mm-hmm.
And then we'll talk about raises. And hopefully this one can be implemented and actually immediately make you more successful because you got more money,
mm-hmm.
which means that everybody's jealous of you.
That's right.
Let's hope you make the most of it, my boy.
I did not have any notes on jealousy. That was not something that was in my action plan.
That's the whole point of being successful, is so everybody is jealous of you. Is it? Am I missing something?
I don't think that that's what this is about, but
okay.
Here we go. First, I want you to assess what you actually need.
Okay.
And what you think you bring to the table.
All right. So what you're actually worth, what your job actually does, and
yeah.
how much money you actually need.
Right. So if you're trying to save up for a house, for example, that is a wonderful thing. And I think that you probably should ask for a little more money so you can put more in your savings.
Should you share that with your boss?
Absolutely. I think, and being a boss myself, someone who's just straightforward and tells me what they need, why they want it, what they're bringing to the table is a way more refreshing conversation than having just give me more money because I exist.
Hmm.
Like it really doesn't. It really is frustrating. So if your boss knows, especially because you've already built a relationship with your boss at this point, and be like, hey, I want to save up for a house. This is what I'm going to do extra that's going to make your life easier so that I can meet my goals too. So,
okay, I like
it. This assessment period is really important, and you need to be honest with yourself about how important you really are.
I agree with that.
Right?
Me being listening to the boss, Bruce Springsteen, all the time. We share similar responsibility.
Yeah, exactly.
So, okay.
So prepare yourself to ask. So this can be very difficult if you're worried about your self-worth or just in general, asking someone for something potentially has rejection. And so it can be scary. So I want you to come up with some mantras, some kind statements about both yourself and who you're going to be asking.
Oh, okay.
Because if you come in with a positive attitude, it'll work out better for everyone involved.
Yeah, don't go in yelling at your boss.
Nope.
Telling them they're an idiot. Because
nope.
They're not giving you money. Just mm-hmm. nice to them.
Yeah, be
they're,
nice to
they're
them.
They're people too.
Yep, exactly.
Maybe they have to ask their boss for a raise.
Usually it has to go up a chain of events. Even if they're the boss,
right.
They still have to go over budgets.
Yeah.
And there's a reality to that.
And then there's shareholders.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's the communist dictators you got to go talk to. There's,
Those guys.
A lot of people that
they're
are involved.
Jerks.
Okay.
Okay, so then you're going to set up the meeting. I want you to have an actual meeting. Don't surprise people. People do not like being surprised, especially when it comes to a monetary situation.
So don't show up at their house at 2 a.m. and then like break into their house and
then
ask for a raise.
Is
that what you're going for it?
No.
Or just don't show up in their office for no reason.
Yeah, like knock, knock. Hey, can I talk to you for a second?
I thought you meant like don't go to their house when they're sleeping. But you're just saying don't show up with no. You should say, hey, I'd like to have a meeting to talk about a raise.
Yes, I would like
to.
Can
we go next week?
Mm-hmm.
Whatever it is. Okay,
yep.
That makes sense.
So you're not surprising people. And then you're going to start off that meeting by highlighting the good work that you've done. and then what you're going to be doing. So I want you to have a piece of paper or a note in your phone or whatever you're going to do, where you have bullet points that you're going to go over, making sure to stay positive in all of those.
Okay.
Okay. Then the golden rules come into place. Don't lie to them. Be honest about what's going on. Straightforward conversation. They're people too. And make sure you have empathy for them, because they are going to have to take time to look over budgets or decide or whatever. Running a business is a big thing. Mm-hmm. So that's why I say prep yourself or prep them for what you're going to talk about, because then they can maybe look over the budget ahead of time, see if they're going to hire somebody, because there's a whole lot of information you might not know.
Yeah.
So give them a heads up. Maybe throw
some numbers in there. Say,
yeah.
I'm going to take on this much more responsibility with these projects,
mm-hmm.
and I'm going to save you another full-time employee mm-hmm. by doing this. And so I'd like to recoup some of that cost that the company is going to be saving by me taking on more work.
Yes.
And if I was a boss, I'd say, yeah, that sounds amazing. Let's run it up the chain or approve it or whatever it is.
Yeah.
Because you have some tangible numbers to it.
Yes.
Is that a good idea?
Yes, absolutely. Oh,
see, I know.
See? Okay. And then knowing your brain, because you know that your brain is going to have the highness of being engaged and getting more money, but then there's going to be like this active feeling of pain when things aren't going as well as you wanted them to. And then also knowing that emotions play into this. So if you're going to have emotion play into this, which it'll, of course it is, of course there's going to be elements of this, try to not have it as involved in your decision-making and their decision-making, because we can't control them, but we can not bring in as much emotion. But if there is emotion elements, just be honest about it and be like, I really want a house because I want to be independent, or this is something I'm really excited about. But I understand that logistically, we need to look at this in a very rational way.
Okay.
So it's understanding both your brain side of it, but then also how to make it logic. And then when it comes down to it, you need to have an end game. Are you going to quit if you don't get what you want? Are you going to take on those extra tasks but not get paid for them? Like, are you going to truly stay if they give you that much money? You have to know what you're actually going to do and really be honest about the reality of your end game, because the worst thing you can do is go in and not have any idea of what you're actually going to do after this, because you just expect your raise.
Right.
Right? And that's a fine enough thing, but you need to know what you're actually going to do long term and why you're asking for money in the first place.
Yeah. We're trying to get the most success out of this interaction as possible.
Yes. Yeah.
If you don't know your end, you're just going to be wandering blindly through the forest.
Yep.
So
exactly.
Know where you're going.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So recap it for us.
Okay. So I branched it into three different areas. So you have your assess, prepare, and timing of the meeting.
Okay.
Okay. So, cause that's your prepping during the interaction. Don't lie. Have empathy and know what your brain is going to do.
Okay.
And then the last is knowing your end game and coming up with scenarios and how you're going to move forward after this interaction, no matter how it goes.
Okay. I love it.
Yeah.
So go ask for some raises. And if it works, email Jessie.
And then you're in
a
raffle.
And tell her, and you get in a raffle, which you win. Now you've got more money. You've got free hats.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? If you go into your boss and this blows up in your face, email Jessie. And then you might win a raffle. And then you get free hats. And it's even better.
Yeah.
It's win, win, win.
Yeah.
Or triple wins.
Exactly. Because if it blows up, maybe you shouldn't be working there anyway.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Or you try again in a little bit.
Yes.
And you keep honing yourselves. And then we're just getting better and better.
Yep.
I like this one. I'm going to go ask for a raise tonight.
Yes.
I'm going to go in there. I'm going to say, Jessie said this was guaranteed to work.
Mm-hmm. Just have the points written down.
And then I'll come home all Charlie Brown because I work for the government.
They say,
it doesn't work like that.
You're not getting a raise.
You're as close to socialism as it gets, my friend. So, but anyway, I like this. I think this is good. Actionable items.
Yes.
So let us know how it goes.
Yep.
I want to know. I want everybody to be successful and get these raises. So,
yeah.
All right. So that was how to get a raise and then how to be socialist. All in the same podcast. You're all welcome. But honestly, take what Jessie said, not what I said. Take what Jessie said and go implement it and
build a better you.
Thanks, guys.